Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Grab your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We're starting a new series. If you grew up in the church and you're an old timer, you've heard the phrase saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. How many heard that growing up? Yeah. When I was a little kid, I didn't know what that meant. I thought a ghost was, I was kind of thrown off by the ghost. So we use the word spirit now, but God has something new for you each and every day. Each and every day. So our theme scripture is out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, and here's what it says. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. As a matter of fact, let that be our memory verse this morning. Can we say that together on a count of three? We'll read it together. One, two, three. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. One more time. One, two, three. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. So you might be thinking, all right, well, what is that? Sanctified simply means to be set apart. To be set apart. Another synonymous term might be holy or made to be acceptable. It is God's will that you be sanctified. I heard about a lady who died and went to the pearly gates. She's standing at the pearly gates, and St. Peter came out and said, you can't come in unless you can spell a word. She said, well, what word do I have to spell to get into heaven, St. Peter? And St. Peter said, well, you can spell any word as long as you spell it correctly. She said, well, can't go wrong with love. How about L-O-V-E? He said, congratulations, you're in. You spelled it correctly. He said, if you'll excuse me for a moment, I got to take care of a couple things. Could you stand here at my post? And if someone else walks up, just use the same procedure as I did. She said, no problem. She's standing there, minding her own business at the pearly gates, filling in for St. Peter. And all of a sudden, wouldn't you know it, here comes her ex-husband. She said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? He said, I had a heart attack. And did I really make it to heaven? And she said, well, not yet. You have to spell a word correctly. He said, well, what word is that? She paused for a moment and said, Czechoslovakia. It is God's will that you be sanctified. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Father, thank you for your word. It is powerful and effective, and we receive it this morning as such. Lord, I ask the word would work in us, that you would train us in righteousness, you would correct us, you'd rebuke us, you would strengthen us by the power of your word. God, let us be different when we leave here than we came. In Jesus' name, amen. AD 64, Rome burns to the ground. Many historians suspect that Nero set fire to the city so that he could build it with maybe a grander status. And he used the Christians as a scapegoat. He blamed the Christians. And he used that to put them on poles covered in oil and would light them at night as lanterns in the city. That's Nero. Peter dies in that persecution late 64, 65. Obviously, 1 and 2 Peter were written before that. The letter doesn't read as though those things are actively happening in that moment. The letter reads as if they are on the horizon. It's as if Peter can sense that the animosity towards Christ's followers is increasing, not decreasing, and he can see a day coming when persecution would dramatically increase. 1 Peter 4:12 says this, "Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." So it was like, here it is, on the horizon. Must be sensing something. Peter, the author, apostle of Jesus Christ, remember, this is the guy who was very good at inserting his foot into his mouth. He was good at that. Denies Christ three times, the crucifixion, and then a few months later, the power of God is operating in his life so significantly that according to Acts 5, his shadow would cross over sick people and they were healed instantly. Powerful transformation. Transform from the fear of men to incredible boldness. As a matter of fact, in Acts 5, the apostles were brought in to give an account, right? They're in trouble to appear before the Sanhedrin. And they're questioned by the high priest. Jesus had died, been buried, resurrected. The Holy Spirit had been sent, Acts 2:4. And now they're ministering under the power of God. And it's causing disruptions in the culture. They say to Peter, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name." They couldn't even say the name Jesus. They wouldn't even say it. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter says, "We must obey God rather than human beings." He's like, "Meeting's over. I'm not bowing down. I'm not stopping." So he's writing under the power of the Holy Spirit to aliens scattered. They're scattered through modern day Turkey, if you're looking at a map. About 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, he's penning the words to struggling Corinthians in Asia Minor, Turkey. They were abused by their bosses, threatened by unbelieving spouses, ridiculed by skeptical neighbors and associates. And on the horizon, Peter sensed, and he was correct, that persecution was increasing. It was very anti-Christian. It is God's will that you be sanctified. How do I move from passive to active? How do I move from average to supernatural? How do I move from timid to bold? From ordinary to extraordinary? Well, today's your day. It is God's will that you be sanctified, set apart. It is God's will. Three draws from this text. Number one, I will believe what God says about me. How many would say, that's what I want in my life? I want 1 Thessalonians 4, for it to be God's will for me to be sanctified. I want the sanctifying, internal, cleansing power of the Holy Spirit, removing scales, removing junk, freeing me from things, making me more and more and more free. I want to be sanctified. I want to be set apart. He says, to God's elect. Realize who you are. He says, God's elect. That's a bold statement, isn't it? That's pretty presumptuous. You're allowed to talk back. It's pretty in your face. Ekklesiōs, derivative from ekklesia, the church, to God's elect. to God's picked out ones, chosen ones, elected ones. He drops it right there. Hello, elect. Hello, chosen. Hello to God's elect. Feel that this morning, Life Church. Feel chosen. I'll try it again over here. It's picnic day, so you got to get warmed up. Feel chosen. God wants you to feel that, not just know that. John 15, 16 says this, "And you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." So chosen for a purpose, right? Chosen for a reason. John adds, chosen and appointed. Interesting. Choosing and appointing go together. Like peanut butter and jelly. All right. Macaroni. All right. I'm losing control. Like steak and potatoes, like French fries and they're old. That's all it took right there. Chosen and appointed. Appointed for what? Appointed, what to say? Bearing fruit. You've been chosen and appointed. Appointed for fruit-bearing life. So whatever you ask for the Father in my name, will give it to you. God says, I saw you and I picked you out for effective fruit-bearing favor. That's what the Word says. And we are not helpless. God sends an advocate, the Holy Spirit. We are not helpless in this. Not left out. You're chosen. So here's a warning. The warning, I think, would be obvious, that we not let pride creep in and get religiously pious, right? Oh, look at me. Look at my long robes and big crowns. I'm so sanctified. Woo, I'm so holy. Woo, you ever met somebody? You can't even have a conversation with them, they're so sanctified. I'm trying to say something about, woo, it's just, look at me. Your choosing had nothing to do with you. Had everything to do with him. Romans 2, 8 through 10 says this, "It's for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing." Turn to your neighbor and says, nothing you did deserve this. This is not your own doing. You couldn't do this by yourself. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, right? So that no one may boast. Look at my works. Look at all the wonderful things I've done in my life. Look how good I am. For we are his workmanship. Thank God for his grace, right? Thank God for his grace. Where would we be without grace? We'd be dead in our sins. Hebrews 12 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, right? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand, the throne of God. You got to believe what God says about you. I thought about a story, Daniel chapter 1, it's in the Bible. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were taken into Babylon from their home, and they were given new names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not their original names. They were their Babylonian names. Names are powerful. When you name something, you either own it, control it, or have authority over it, usually, right? Parents name their kids. Say, I have zero control anymore of my kids. They're out of control. I have nothing to... Just kidding. My kids report in every night to me and give me a list of all the things they've done that day, good and bad, and I critique their life every day. And I they have invited, Dad, could you every day just tell us what to do with our life? If you're not there, maybe you're not as sanctified. I don't know, maybe. I actually talked to one of my sons yesterday after 14 text messages, 17 voicemails, and knocking on his front door. So, all right. Jews came to Babylon, and one of the first things they did is say, Babylon owns you. So Babylon is a picture of captivity, bondage, right? Taken out of the Holy Land into Babylon. Babylon owns you now, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They own you. We own you. God doesn't own you anymore. The Babylonians were trying to scrub God off of them. The Babylon is a picture of the world. There was a full assault on getting rid of any connection of God. You got to remember. You got to remember who you are. You got to remember what God says about you. Babylon says, we own you, and you're going to do things our way, not God's way. Iraq is the area, modern-day Babylon. Daniel's name, God is my judge. God is first in my life. I'm accountable to God. But Babylon named him Belshazzar, which means protector of the king. Beltes, which is a feminine form, a name of false god or demon, Baal. So Daniel becomes Belshazzar, which Babylon means no longer are you accountable to God, Daniel. You're accountable to the king of Babylon. You're the protector of the king. You're not the protector of God. Your association is no longer with God, but with Baal. That's what the name change was intended to accomplish. Shadrach's mama named him Hananiah, means grace of God. Shadrach, his Babylonian name means I'm fearful. No longer are you going to live in the grace of God. In Babylon, you'll live in the fear of this world. And this is exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to unseat God and insert the world. Shadrach, you're no longer accountable to God anymore. You're in the ways of the world now. No longer are you going to walk in God's grace, but you're going to walk in fear. Shadrach. Meshach's mama named him Mishael. It means who is what God is or who can compare to God. It was an adoration. Term of adoration. Meshach means I'm despised, contemptible, humiliated. In other words, it's the definition of condemnation, right? It's the definition of condemnation. His name meant, God, you are so great. Who is like you? I'm focused on the greatness of God. And Babylon says, no longer. Now your name will be condemnation. I'm despised, contemptible, humiliated. The enemy wants you to get your eyes off of God, scrub God right off of you, and get your focus on yourself, your mistakes, your errors, all that you are not. But you got to remember what God says about you. You got to remember what Peter says to God's elect. Abednego, his mama named him Azariah. Azariah means God helps me. God's my source, my wisdom. I get my wisdom from God, right? He comes to Babylon, they said, no longer. Abednego means servant of Nebo. It's a Babylonian god of literature and science. Now listen, this spirit is active. No longer are you going to get your wisdom from God, Azariah. You're going to get your wisdom from Nebo, from human thinking. No longer are you going to say what God's word says. You're going to say, what does human wisdom say? Here in Babylon, humanism trumps God 7 days a week. We don't care what God says. We care about higher thinking. And we'll be the ones to define what higher thinking is. You're going to get your values from us. You're going to get your wisdom from us. God doesn't help you anymore. Not in Babylon. The enemy has a name for you. The enemy wants to rename you, reclassify you, recategorize you, re-identify you. You were born with God-given potential. You're created in the image and likeness of God. You're created for purpose. You're created for worship. But the enemy wants to scrub that off of you and give you a new title, a new name, a new identity. And if you're not aware of that, what happens is it creeps up on you and it becomes part of who you are and you don't even realize it. He wants to scrub God right off of your marriage. Babylon wants to scrub God right off your business. Scrub God right off of your career. He wants to scrub God right off your kids. He wants to scrub God right off your thoughts, your finances, your goals. Get God out and get Babylon in. That's the goal in Babylon. Get rid of the word and get humanism and secularism. And I think it doesn't really take very much of a prophet to see that ain't really working out so good for us. Once you realize who you are strengthened to become who you were made to be. We might be in Babylon, but Babylon's not in us. Either Babylon is going to get in you or you're going to affect Babylon. Now, they tried to rename them, but those boys didn't let Babylon get inside of them. I think that's the application of the story. An attempt was made, right? Recategorization, reclassification, renaming. Oh, we're going to re-script the whole thing. And they said, that doesn't work for us. Because we know who we are. We know whose we are. Peter said, to God's elect. Cappadocia, Asia. To God's elect. David was anointed as king. The boy David, in 1 Samuel 17, is killing a giant named Goliath. Why? Because he believed he was what God said he was, and not what the voices around him said he was. I'm trying to talk to somebody today. He graduated with honors from shepherd to giant killer in one Christmas break. As long as you believe anything except what God says about you, you will live with so many limits. God says Take off the limits. Take off the limits. Take off the limits. Take off the limits. When you know who you are, look, when you know who you are, you move from defensive posture to being on the offensive. Self-assurance in Christ makes you powerful. Not because we just learn of anything that we've done, but because of what He's done. Glorify the crucified, resurrected Savior. Magnify Him. Magnify the one seated on the throne at the right hand of the Father. Magnify Him. Glorify His name. I believe what God says about me. Second takeaway from 1 Peter right there is I'll complete my assignment. I'll complete my assignment. I'm going to complete my assignment. Everybody say, I will complete my assignment. He says, to God's elect, strangers in the world. So, okay, I've been chosen, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. And as God's elect, there's something that follows that. Did you catch it? To God's elect, what's it say? Strangers in the world. Turn to your neighbor and say, I knew there was something weird about you. I knew there was something weird about you. This explains so much. Who's Peter talking to? Those who are Christ followers. Christians who are away from their ultimate home. That's what the phrase strangers in the world means. They're in the world, but they're strangers. They're wandering. It's not their home. Oh, they're here, but just for a little while. I got a home over there. I'm here for now, but one day I won't be. So I'm not putting all my stock in the here and now, because I won't be here later. I'll be there later. So I'm going to put my stock in the there later rather than the here and now. So I'm gonna do some things in the here and now. I'm gonna enjoy the here and now. God wants me to enjoy that. But the whole time I'm thinking, this is not my home. This is not my citizenship. This is not where I land. This is not ultimately where I will reside. It's over there. To God's elect, strangers in the world. Sojourners, aliens, immigrants. Your citizenship elect is heaven. That's your citizenship. You've been given a passport to come to this world. Oh, it's Babylon. Oh, it's Babylon. Woo, it's Babylon. But you ain't gonna stay there. Poor grammar to make a point. How'd I do, doctor? As a stranger in this world, I do remember my ultimate home is heaven. As a stranger in the world, I keep the things of this world in perspective, right? There's perspective. I hold the things of this world loosely. The world doesn't have a hold on me. I hold the things of this world loosely. But I hold on to Him tightly. Because wherever He is, it's where I want to be. You know, that's really what heaven is. It's not so much a location. It's the presence. Wherever Jesus is manifest. And, oh, He is preparing a place, yes. So He can dwell with you. So I'm living in it, right? I'm not of it. I'm an alien. I'm a stranger in the world. One more time, to your neighbor, and say, this explains everything. This explains it all. Philippians 3:20 says this, we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. See, there it is, right? And we eagerly wait, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. So he's gone, but he's coming back. Philippians says, Hebrews 11, speaking of those, the hall of faith, all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. So they're here, they're looking, they greet them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles in the world. Hebrews 13:14, for here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that's to come. One more to reinforce the point. Peter goes on in chapter 4 to say this, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they will malign you. Well, I don't understand why, you know, I'm trying to live for God, and people are like, you know, making fun of me and stuff, there's rumors going around about me, and I'm, you know, that's not me, and they will malign you. They will create a script for your life that is not real. They will malign you because Babylon wants to scrub God right off of you. Why is the world surprised? Why is the world surprised? Verse 4. Halfway down towards the bottom. With respect to this, they are surprised. Why are they surprised? Because there's no hope of a future home somewhere else. What are you talking about? Alien, stranger, heaven. Oh, man, get it all now, brother, because this is as good as it gets. And they will malign you. Today is a big deal. Today, we launch our care portal, which is an extension of our ministry from Compassion 127. James 127 says, pay special attention to care for orphans and widows. And if you were here last week, you saw all the dumpster dives. If you weren't here, just watch the video and ask someone. And so I'm so thankful for Nina and Eddie's leadership and the team of people that are buying in. Today, there's a meeting in the cafe, a short meeting. 15 minutes ought to do it. I'm looking for confirmation. Today, we strike the iron to shape one more weapon of kingdom warfare. The care portal is a way that we can partner with families within a 15-mile circle of this address who are foster families, who get a phone call at 3 in the afternoon, at 3 in the morning, whenever it comes. Hey, we have a little boy and a little girl that need a home tonight. Some of them are prepared for the phone call. Some of them the phone call because they don't know what's going to happen. And can you take them? So Lifeline screens all these needs. They don't have to screen them. They're already screened and vetted. And they pop up on a portal, and it pops up, and we have access to it. And we see, oh, there's a need for clothing for a 5-year-old boy and a 6-year-old girl. Here's the sizes, and by the way, they need simple toiletries. And we have partnered with the Baptist Church at the bottom of the hill, and they've opened up a big room where we have inventoried a bunch of stuff already, in which we can click on the yes, we'll take care of that need, and we got a delivery system. So we're going to take it to their house. And if the bed needs to be set up, we're going to set it up. If stuff needs to be dropped off at the door, we're going to drop it at the door. And so we're going to be salt and light to these families who've opened their homes to a kid who doesn't have a home. You're called to finish your assignment. To finish your assignment. To finish your assignment. And we will stand with those who have chosen to open their homes to orphans through foster care. And we will help resource and encourage and lighten the load for those who go the extra mile in loving children. And there's a very good system set up that we get to tie into that does much of the hard work, and we just get to have the fun. So there'll be an opportunity for you to donate things. Don't bring your junk. Bring something nice. There'll be opportunity for you to work and help. Complete your assignment today, right after service in the cafe. If you say, hey, I want to hear a little more about that, come. We'll be ready for you. As a citizen of heaven, I resist the desire to be accepted by the world. I don't live for that. I'm on temporary assignment. I am an ambassador to a foreign land. One of Jamie's kids, their school, their dad is an ambassador to a foreign country. Am I saying it right? He was the commander of the 20th Special Forces Group. He took off his Green Beret and put on a suit, I think. He's an ambassador to war-torn areas of Europe. He's a U.S. citizen. Look, very well-trained. Special Forces officer. Very well-trained. With the authority and power of the United States government, there to speak on behalf of and here for the U.S. government, so that the idea is that the influence brings some help and relief. That's his job. You are an ambassador from heaven to your neighborhood. You're an ambassador from heaven to your workplace. You are an ambassador from heaven to this community. You're an ambassador from heaven to this church. You're an ambassador from heaven to your family. This is not your home. You are on assignment. You are elected to God's elect and chosen. Chosen to bear fruit. You're called to be a healing agent. Remember the Good Samaritan? Come on, worship team. Remember the Good Samaritan? Here's the story of the Good Samaritan in a summary. He saw a problem he didn't cause, so he stopped to help. He put oil and wine on a wound that he didn't make. He became an agent of healing. He put the guy who he's helping up into a room. Guess who's paying the bill? He's paying the bill. So that the guy could recover and use his own money to help the fella. So I hope I'm talking to some people who are understanding that you are a healing agent on assignment from heaven to Babylon. And this is really good preaching, by the way. Just want you to know that. Psalm 103, praise the Lord, oh my soul. all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with, what's it say together? Good things. Good things. Complete your assignment. God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. Like, he didn't think about you yesterday. He's been thinking about you from the beginning. You've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. For obedience to Jesus Christ. That's the assignment. And sprinkling by his blood. You have been chosen, not because of what you've done, right? We learned, because of what he's done, who he is. The foreknowledge of God, he knew, right? He knew. How does that work? How do you become a citizen of heaven? Through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, the Holy Spirit comes in at conversion. When you say yes to Jesus, when you surrender your life. When I say yes to Jesus, I don't mean, I mean you surrender to Jesus. We got to get out of our mind this, I don't know how to say it without, and sound nice. We got to get out of our mind this country music, truck driving, beer drinking, church going salvation that's in a song. That's hellish. It's a surrendered your life to Christ. It's a lay down your life. It's a, I'm going to take up my cross. The Holy Spirit comes in and sanctifies. He begins to set you apart. The reason you don't look like Babylon is because you ain't from Babylon. The reason you don't sound like Babylon is because you ain't from Babylon. Your citizenship is not there. You don't think like Babylon. You don't spin like Babylon. You don't dress like Babylon. You don't entertain like Babylon. You ain't from Babylon. Sanctify. It is God's will that you be set apart. You be different, identifiable. Well, that's an odd guy. He doesn't get drunk with us after formation at night. Well, she's weird. You know, she says crazy things like, I put God first, and I'm waiting for my husband to have sex. Well, what a weirdo, right? That's bizarre. You ain't from here, man. You ain't from here. Set aside the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. There it is. We're going to land here. Sanctification is allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to set us apart. And sprinkling by his blood. The sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Can you throw it up on the screen again? It's the very second scripture. I just want us to see it. Way back at the beginning, the second scripture. through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. When we thumb our nose at the sanctifying work of the Spirit and we thumb our nose at obedience to Christ, we are thumbing our nose at the blood of Jesus Christ. To feel heavy. Jesus has done everything to choose us, to choose you, to choose you, to choose you. And when you elect, act like Babylon, you're thumbing your nose at the blood that is so precious in heaven. That's the only commodity that could redeem you back. It's a sprinkling of blood, the precious blood of Jesus. It's by that that we're cleansed through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Aren't you glad for what Jesus has done? Now, don't you just get mad at the devil and mad at, oh, you just, don't quit running. Don't miss your assignment for obedience to Jesus Christ. God wants to, it is God's will that you be sanctified. That you be set apart, that you not be in chains with all the trappings of Babylon.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.